First book of Psalms. This is nothing new. What we're going to read about this morning, this is the prayer of David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. This, you can go back into 2 Samuel and you can read this account. We're not going to go back there and do that. But starting in verse 1, it said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou hast made me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." We want to look this morning, there's five things here. What this is, as we said, this is the prayer of David. We want to talk about repentance this morning for those of us who are saved. I know we teach and we preach a lot about repentance of the lost, and we need to do that. We need to teach repentance of those that are saved as well. Basically, as we said here, you can look in here, you can find there's five things that we can see. We're not going to teach on or preach on these, but first in repentance comes, we have to recognize our sins. And when we recognize our sins, we acknowledge them. And when we acknowledge them, He cleanses us. And when He cleanses us, we turn from our sins and we start to follow after God again. I know that this church teaches repentance, but there's a lot of times when you, and I've turned on the television, I don't do this hardly anymore on Sunday mornings, and listen to those that teach and preach off of the television and all of these much anymore. But when they finished, there's very little said about repentance. There's very little said, even in salvation, there's very little said about repentance and turning from their sin. They say you make your decisions and you make a choice to do this, and you just do this and you do something else. And the Bible says we can't do anything unless God dwells within us. We can't just turn a new leaf and do the things that God wants us to do without repentance. What the Bible calls repentance. David had committed sin. But you look in verse 4 here, he said that it doesn't matter. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." You go back and you read there in the second, can't think of where it is. You go back and read, and you'll find that that he had committed sin against Bathsheba. He had committed sin against Uriah and Israel, and he committed sin against all these people. But in Samuel he said, "Against thee and thee only." Sin is against God. It may be against, we may use it against someone else, but sin is against God. But we see that I'd heard this several years ago, talking about repentance of the saved. When we commit sin, David had committed sin, and David suffered because of his sin. We commit sin, and if we don't confess our sin, we suffer for unconfessed sin in our lives. And David suffered through part of his life for not confessing this until the Lord sent a man unto him and told him of his sin. But I'd heard here, I said it several years ago, and it's no one that I know at all. And they were members of a church, and they were living in sin, but they were still allowed to play the piano. They were allowed to do everything they wanted, and the church didn't discipline them or do anything to them. They refused. And they said, well, all you need to do is show them redemptive love. Just go along with them. They needed to repent of their sins. We see here some things that we want to look at. Again, what is repentance? Well, it's not what the world calls repentance. Because if you look around, even for those that are saved, what the world calls repentance is just turning over a new leaf and just doing better and all of these things. But for those that are saved, what does the Bible call repentance? I think you can find an example of that in the book of Matthew, in chapter 26, in verse 75. This was when the crowd or the ones had done come and took the Lord Jesus Christ and was going to take him to the hall. And Peter said he followed afar off. And the Lord told him that before the night was over that he would deny him three times. And he did. He denied the Lord three times. And he even swore that he didn't even know the Lord. And the Lord, the third time, the cock crew, and he didn't even have to say anything to him. He just looked. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him. And Peter said in verse 75 here, and said, Peter remembered the words of Jesus and went out. And when he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. He repented for denying the Lord. He had repented with a godly sorrow that he had denied the Lord. Now, a lot of times, as we see that repentance comes about from different things, when we're going to be caught doing something, we repent before it happens, or we may be caught in something, and then we repent, not sorrowful as Peter did, and we can go back and you can look at the life of Peter. After he repented, he followed after the Lord. I don't know if the Bible shows anywhere that he denied the Lord again. He followed steadfastly after the Lord. You look at David, after he prayed this prayer of repentance. Now I know that there's things that had came about before this happened. He lost his children, he lost his kingdom, and all of these things. But he repented, and the Bible said that he was a man after God's own heart. He followed after the Lord. That is a sign of true godly repentance. That is a sign of true repentance, is following after God and steadfastly following the Lord. So I believe true repentance will bring about a change in a person's life. I'm talking about a saved person. When we repent of sin in our lives, it brings about a change. We're not going to stay where we're at. David, after he repented of his sins, didn't go back to where he was at and commit adultery and do these things. Peter, when he confessed and went out and wept bitterly, he didn't go back and deny the Lord again. But the Bible said, and I think that through some studies, whatever, that Peter was crucified head down. But we see that he followed his Lord. He was crucified as the Lord. But he followed after the Lord. And one that truly repents. When we're saved and we truly repent of our sin, whatever it may be, that we'll not soon return to that sin. We'll not soon go back into sin. I know that, and I'm not naive or foolish enough to believe that that we'll never sin. The Bible tells us that whoever says that they have not sinned, they make God a liar, and the truth is not in us. And as long as we're contained, and as long as we're in the body that we have, that is fleshly body, we're going to commit sin. That's inevitable. We're going to do that. But God commands us to repent when we sin. I know that we talk a lot about repentance of the lost. We need to talk and preach about the saved people repenting and getting right with God. And God bless them. You can look at David's life. God blessed David. God restored some things and gave back to him some things after he repented. So how does one repent? Here he said in verse 3, he said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." We must make an acknowledgement of our sin before the Lord. You don't have to come and make an acknowledgement of our sins to the pastor. You don't have to come and make an acknowledgement of our sins before a preacher. You don't have to come and make acknowledgement of our sins before anyone other than the Lord. Now, the Lord is the only one that can forgive sin. I know that there are those that teach penance, and you can do this, and you can pay this, or you'll have to do this, and God will forgive you. But we're going to look at the latter part of this, that we don't have to do anything to receive forgiveness from God. We don't have to give anything in order to receive forgiveness from God, except what God requires from us, and we'll look at that in a little bit. And I believe that until one repents, whatever sin, he said that here in this third verse, he said his sin was ever before him. What sin? Sin of adultery, sin of murder, sin of lust, sin of lying, and all the things that he had committed was always before him. The burden of sin is always, when we commit sin, it's always there. That feeling of knowing we've wronged God, that feeling is always there until we confess that to the Lord, and the Lord removes that from us. I can think back even in my own life where I had done things that I hadn't or shouldn't have done, and probably never should have done. And until I confessed them unto the Lord, there was always a guilty feeling, I guess is the best way to describe it. There's always a feeling there. I know sometimes that when we as saved people, we commit sin, and as David, we harbor sin and we don't confess it unto the Lord. I've seen people say this and heard them say this and seen them, that whenever something happens to them, the first thing that comes into their mind is, well, God's dealing with me. God, if a sickness comes or something happens to them, they think God is doing something to them because they have unconfessed sin. The Bible does tell us that there is a sin unto death, but that's only for the saved people that commit the sin unto death. But we see that he said that his sin was ever before him. The guilt of his sin was before him. The evidence through his children of his sin was ever before him. And the death of his infant son and his son Absalom and all the things that had taken place to him. To repent means one that is saved, they seek the mercy of God. In verse 1, he said here, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." That's what true repentance brings. That's what true repentance will do. God will blot out that transgression. What does that mean? Well, it means something to me that I can't understand, and I don't guess I'll ever understand all of it. When we say that we forgive someone, and somebody transgresses or trespasses or done something against us, and they make it right with us, and we say, "Well, I'll forgive them." But think about it, though. somewhere, sometime down the road, if somebody does something that gets to us, we may bring that up again. Not intentionally, not in purpose, but the human nature. We'll bring that up. Well, you remember what you did this time. You remember what you done this time. But I can't understand. I'm thankful for it. That when God forgives us of sin, it's like it never happened. He never brings it up. It's gone. It's put far behind Him. And no matter if we commit transgression against the Lord, He doesn't say, well, remember what you did that time. He doesn't bring them up. God is not His man to bring our sins up before us. But He blots them out. He takes care of them. He cleanses them. He washes them away, never to be remembered against us anymore. But we ask for mercy. As we see in Ephesians in chapter 2, said, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Great mercy. He is rich. He is abounding in mercy. If we commit sin today and we confess it to God, He is gracious and merciful to forgive us. We commit sin tomorrow and we confess it, He is gracious and merciful to forgive us. And we commit sin again, He is gracious. His love is always for us and abounds unto us, and His mercy is always plentiful unto us. He blots them out. He wipes them away. That according to His loving kindness. Aren't we glad that God doesn't think as man to remember what we've done against Him and hold it against us? To remember what we had done, and He never held David's sin against Him. He never held Peter's denial against Him. He confessed it and He went on and He lived for the Lord. He never held it against Him. David, again, like I said, recognized that even though he had committed sin against Bathsheba, committed sin against Uriah, and probably all of Israel, but the sin was first against God. I was looking for this, and I didn't really look to find it that close. But you go back and you read in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, and they began to murmur and complain that they hadn't had this and they didn't have that, and all, we don't have the things that we had in Egypt and all of these. And they murmured against Moses. But God said to Moses, God told Moses, they're not murmuring against you, they're murmuring against Me. To murmur against the man of God is to murmur against God. To murmur and to complain is to murmur against God. And the sin is against God. We see in 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and verse 13, when Dathan had came to David, God sent a man to him to witness to him and to tell him of his sin. God sends the pastor today. They stand before the people and they preach the gospel and they preach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it convicts us of sin if we're lost. It convicts us of sin if we're saved. And it tells us what we need to do, what we stand in need of. And as Nathan was sent to David, and David here, after he had told him the story of the lamb and these things here, that how one had one lamb, and that was Uriah, and one had many lambs, and the one that had many took the one and dressed it for the one that came unto him, which represents Uriah taking the wife of, or David taking the wife of Uriah. Of course, David had a concubine, had many wives. David was angry. Here David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I haven't sinned against Uriah. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. We confess our sins, the Lord puts it away from us. If we confess our sins as saved people today, the Lord puts it away from us. Here he said, I believe if David hadn't repented, the Bible said in the last part, that thou shalt not die. David would have died if he hadn't confessed his sin. See, when we sin, whatever it may be, we must see that it's against God. So David saw that what he had done was wrong in the sight of God. Sin, what is sin? Well, you can look in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, whosoever transgresseth, or whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for a transgression of the law is sin. When we transgress the law, that's sin. Well, I was over a week or two ago at Riverview on Sunday, last Sunday I believe it was, or the Sunday before, and I know I almost preached on the little things. When the Bible talks about sin, we in our minds we categorize and we do that in maybe not in thought or whatever, but we say, well, this is not a big sin. But this adultery is a big sin. Telling a lie is not a big sin. But you read in the Word of God and you'll find nowhere where He says one sin is no greater as far as sin. It's all sin. When we transgress the law, it's sin, regardless of what it may be. It's still sin. And we can't blame anyone else for it but that old nature. We can blame Adam because we all fell in Adam. But we blame that old nature of man that we have. Let's look at David here again. And even to ourselves, when one repents of their sin, what happens? Well, he tells us in 1 John, it says, if we are faithful and just to forgive our sin, or confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. The cleansing that is a continuous cleansing, we confess daily our sins before the Lord. I know that I've heard some of them say that they did what they wanted to do. If they believe what we did, they could do what they wanted and sin all they wanted. And I've heard them saying, I agree with them, we sin more than we want. That we believe we sin more than we want to. When we confess our sins before God, as David did, He'll do the same thing for you and I that He did for David. He'll do the same thing for those of us that are saved that He did for David. What did He do for David? He washed his sin. He blotted out his transgression. He purged him in verse 7 with hyssop, and he was made whiter than snow. He restored unto him that which was broken. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us, and I'm not talking about, I know that when we're lost, we're separated from God. Our sins separate us from God. But when we're saved and we commit sin, the Bible tells us when we pray unto God, if we harbor sin in our heart, God will not hear us. If we pray to God with sin harbored in our heart, God doesn't answer our prayers. If we hold and harbor sin. But more than that, He restores something unto David that he had lost. He restores unto us. When we commit sin and we confess and repent of that sin before God, He restores unto us the fellowship that we once had. He communicates again with us as sons and daughters. He doesn't forsake us. The Bible says here, and I know that a lot may be teaching and those that teach that David lost his salvation because when he said, restore unto him the joy, he didn't lose the salvation, but he lost the joy that sin brings. He lost the peace of mind that sin brings into our lives. He lost the peace of serving God. And he wanted that back. And when we repent of our sin, God gives that back. That communication, the fellowship is back again and it's not broken. Again, sin had separated David from God and it separates us from God. I said he didn't lose his salvation. But he said here, because he said in verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. I've been this way. Not often. But when we commit sin against the Lord, when we break the law of God and transgress against the Lord, He said here, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Think what he's telling, or David was saying here, said, Lord sometimes felt like he was a million miles away from us. When we commit sin, the Lord feels like he's a million miles away. But he's no further away than a prayer. He's no further away from us than we repent unto him. He wasn't going to cast him away from his presence, but he felt that way. He felt the sin had robbed him of the joy of serving God, and it felt like God was not with him. We ever felt that way when we commit sin? Felt that God was a million miles away from us, but he wasn't. Now he could communicate. He had repented of his sins. Look in the 66th book of Psalms here. He tells us something in verse 18. Down through about verse 20. As we said here, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we harbor sin, unconfessed sin, unrepented of sin as Christians, God will not hear us when we pray. God will not answer us. David confessed his sin in verse 19, says, but verily God hath heard me and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. He repented of his sins and God heard his prayer. Verse 20 says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. He didn't turn away. He heard him when he prayed. He confessed his sin and God answered prayer. He confessed his sin and God began to hear the prayers of David. When we confess our sin, God begins to hear our prayers again. God begins to answer our prayers again. What else happens? Well, he said here, let me see where it is. Here he said, he created me in verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. He created with him. He cleansed his heart. He gave him a heart with a desire to serve God. He gave him a heart that wanted to serve the Lord. He cleansed him and he blotted out that transgression that had separated him and God. Verse 9, it says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. God hides his face when we repent. When we repent of our sins, he blots them out. He hides his face from them. It's like they're not there. I don't understand that. I can't understand, even in salvation, how the Bible, and I know this and I believe this, that God cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future sins. It's like we had never committed a sin. How can someone do that? That's called the mercy of God. That's the grace of God, how he does that. One that has repented, again, we said, has the joy of God restored unto them. When we sin, then we get out of the will of God. And that's when he feels like he's a million miles away. When we commit sin against the Lord and harbor sin, we get out of the will of God. And the Lord feels like he's not even present with us. But the Lord is willing to forgive all those that repent from the heart. What happens to those when they repent? I don't want to keep you long. But what happens to a Christian when they repent? What happens to them when they confess their sin? Well, when they truly confess their sin, they'll turn from it. When we truly repent of whatever sin we may have in our lives, and with a godly sorrow and repent of it, we shall turn from it. You don't see nowhere in the Bible that David went back and committed murder again. We don't see where he went back and he did the things that he did again. He turned from those things. He said in this 53rd Psalm here again in verse 13, said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I'll tell others about the Lord. I'll tell them about what happened to me. I think a lot of times, in maybe a weaker illustration or whatever of this, that He said here that I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. I'll turn from my sin. I'll tell others about what had happened to me. I think a lot of times when I tell my children about things that I see that they're going to do, and the reason I warn them, and what David here, he's warning others and he's teaching them about what God had done to him and what had happened to him. Wasn't when we teach our children, I talk about that, I try to warn them. It's not, and as they say, well, you're just not letting me have any fun. It's not because of that. It's when you look back and you see that they're going to do some things that you had done in life and I had done, and we know what happened as a result. We see the end result of what happened to us, and we try to warn them and not to fall into what we did. And they say, well, you're just trying to ruin all of my fun. But we're trying to tell them and give them an example that this could happen to you. And I'm not saying it would happen to them, but this is what could happen to you. But they turn from that and they warn them. He said he'll teach others about the Lord. He'll teach them, and if the Lord willed, he would save others and all of these. But when we turn from our sin, then we'll teach others. We'll warn others. We'll tell them about others. Sad thing about David in one way is that, and it's also true with us today when we commit sin against the Lord. Even though we repent, even though David repented of his sin, and God forgave David. I don't have no doubt God forgave him for what he had done. But sometimes you look in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10, and it said, Nathan told him the sword would never depart from his house. The scars of sin will take with us all of our lives. We may repent of our sins. David repented of his sins, but he carried with him those scars. The scars of losing his infant son, as we said, his adult son, his kingdom, and all of these. Those, even as another illustration, those who may drink to excess and their liver is almost ruined and the Lord saves them, he doesn't give them a new liver. They have the scars of what their life they packed with them. He could do that if he pleased to do that, but he doesn't most of the time. But even though we can repent, we still take the scars of sin with us. We pack them and carry them all of our lives. In closing, as we said when we started, you don't, and I don't have to do anything. There's nothing we give to God for His forgiveness. This is true in salvation. There are those that will teach and tell you that you have to do things in order to be saved. There are those that will teach you that you have to live and you have to just live what the Bible teaches and baptism and all of these things. There's nothing we can give for salvation. David couldn't give anything to the Lord for His mercy and for His forgiveness. In verse 16 here, as we close, he says, Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would have given it. Thou desirest not a burnt offering. He couldn't give an offering. He couldn't give sacrifice. God didn't want that. What did God want from us when we commit sin? He wants a broken spirit. He wants a broken and a contrite heart. God will deal and He will work with these. He will use these things. In verse 17 says, but the sacrifices of God are not the offerings, but it is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. That's what He requires. When we confess our sin, what He's saying there is we humbly confess our sin before God and we ask God for forgiveness. This is what God requires. not sacrifice. We commit sin, we can't say, well, I'll give you this if you'll forgive me. I'll do this if you'll forgive me. I've heard and seen a lot that had committed sin and things had happened to them and they had been in an accident. If God will just let me get well, I'll give you this and I'll do this. I've seen personally those who had stopped serving the Lord and had accidents and things that had happened to them. They were in the hospital and we go in and talk to them years ago and they said, if Lord just let me get up out of here, I'll come to church again. I'll start serving God again. You can't make deals with God. I'll start serving the Lord. The Lord let him live. The Lord let him get out of the hospital. Lord, let him get better. First Sunday, he was out. He was fishing. Never did come back to church. Never did come back in the doors of the church. You can't make deals with God. If you let me do this, I'll do that. If you'll do this, I'll do that. Can't bargain and deal with God. He doesn't want that. What he wants is a broken and a contrite spirit. For those that are lost, so we don't know anyone's heart or mind here today, we'll close with reading Luke chapter 13. Starting here in verse 1. Luke chapter 13 and verse 1. So there were present at that season some of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell unto you, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I say unto you, nay, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. There's no good sinners and bad sinners. We're sinners. There are saved sinners and there's lost sinners. That's all there is to it. If you're here and lost, he requires repentance. And nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If we repent of our sins, we don't know anyone's heart or mind this morning. If you're here today and lost, has God dealt with you to be saved? Has he shown you that you needed to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and come and even join unto this church and put your life to service here? You're saved here today. We have unconfessed sin. God requires that we repent. God commands that we repent. God blesses our life when we repent.